Let's talk about the current events now, because a lot has happened again this week, and I am not intending to go into the situation with Ukraine and Russia. I've been talking about it quite a bit. Not everybody liked what I've said, but I'm not taking anything back at all. I'd like to talk about, if I have a theme today, it would be persecution. And let's start with an article which we published in our update by Christian Today, which is titled March 21. And it has, of course, some relationship with Russia and Ukraine, but perhaps in different ways. It says, in parts of Ukraine already under Russian separatist control, many Protestant churches have been closed and some Christian books have been banned. The Luthank authorities have banned 12 Christian books on an extremist material list. These include an 1820 edition of the Gospel of John, and then some other books, including those from Billy Graham. So that's already prohibited in those regions. And of course, the article is asking the question, what's going to happen when Putin takes over either the entirety of Ukraine or at least parts of it? Now, I think I mentioned this last time, but the Pope, Pope Francis, made an interesting comment in which he said that there are no just wars. No just wars exist. He's right. No war fought by human beings is just. But the funny thing is, as we point out in our comments, he is again in obvious contradiction with the teachings of his church. He is also in effect condemning all the warmongering activities of his church throughout its existence. And then we refer to our booklet, Should You Fight in War?, showing you that there are no just wars. And all this concept of there are just wars, which, you know, some Catholic church fathers, quote-unquote, came up with, is blasphemous, it's unbiblical, it's ungodly. Now, since we are talking about the Catholic Church, I'd like to refer to an article which is going to publish in the next update by the Associated Press, dated March 25. Pope Francis prayed for peace in Ukraine in a ceremony Friday that harked back to a century-old apocalyptic prophecy about peace and Russia that was sparked by purported visions of the Virgin Mary to three peasant children in Fatima, Portugal, in 1917. Francis invited bishops, priests, and ordinary faithful around the world to join him in the consecration prayer, which concluded with Francis sitting alone before a statue of the Madonna. There he solemnly asked forgiveness that humanity had forgotten the lessons learned from the tragedies of the last century, the sacrifice of the millions who fell in two world wars. Free us from war, he prayed to the Virgin Mary, quote-unquote. Protect our world from the menace of nuclear weapons. He goes on to say that the idea is that Russia would be converted and peace would reign if the Pope and all the bishops of the world consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then the article says, the text of Francis' prayer reads, therefore, Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the Church, and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. And with that, the Pope seems to be saying, now Russia will end the war, Russia will become converted to Christianity, and peace will reign. Talking about absolute blasphemy, but that is what's happening in the quote-unquote Christian church with the most membership in the world. Now, on the flip side of the coin, the Jerusalem Post wrote on March 16 that the Ukrainian Orthodox Church leader blessed his people to fight against the Russian invader, saying, killing Russian soldiers is not a sin. And he justified that by saying that the spirit of the Antichrist operates in the leader of Russia, talking about Putin. And of course, this has always been the argument at the time of World War II. Well, you know, American soldiers who would drop bombs on Nazi Germany, they didn't sin. That's what they had to do. Again, the idea of just war. It's all wrong, it's all blasphemous, it's all completely ungodly. But I thought this was interesting that this is also going to come back to haunt us, because as we pointed out before, whoever wins this war, whether it's Russia or whether it's Ukraine, ultimately nobody wins the war. And of course, the outcome is already preordained. And that is that Russia and Ukraine will be together fighting Europe. That's clearly prophesied in the Bible. But Mr. Zelensky also did himself no favor when he addressed the Israeli parliament and when he talked about, as he said, Gentiles, righteous Gentiles of Ukraine were helping the Jews during World War II. Now, an article here by Israel 365 News points out that, of course, there were some who helped the Jews, as there were some in every country helping the Jews, whether it's the Netherlands, Sweden, whether it was Germany even, Austria. But the vast majority of Ukrainians didn't help the Jews at all. In fact, they were some of the strongest Nazi supporters. And we have several articles, one by GTA, saying that many Ukrainians murdered Jews, and you might want to read that article, because we have to state the facts, and we cannot just ignore them if it doesn't fit in a particular political agenda. Now, we also talk about, as we say in our headline, Biden's administration's hypocrisy, and that has to do with Iran. They're trying to revisit and revive the Iranian deal, which many have felt was the biggest catastrophe ever. And an article by Die Allgemeine, which is a Jewish paper, wrote that America is about to massively empower a state, Iran, that is a lethal threat to the West and already has far more American blood on its hands than has President Vladimir Putin. And then it goes on to say, for America to bring Iran into the community of nations is obscene. To do so while purportedly exiling Russia from that community of nations is astonishing hypocrisy. And I found interesting what the editorial board of the New York Post wrote in this regard. They said, President Joe Biden called Vladimir Putin a war criminal, with good reason. The autocrats' forces have bombed hospitals, schools, and other civilian structures, wantonly slaughtered children, and are leveling Ukrainian cities to try to make them submit. But Biden, as usual, didn't mean it. Turns out the revived Iran deal now under discussion includes a massive sanctions waiver for Russia's nuclear projects in Iran. Aside from the ugly moral implications, this is policy malpractice. It endangers U.S. interests abroad and also Ukraine by telling Putin, we are not that serious. And it goes on to explain the incredible ridiculousness of the policy we have in this country. Talking about Canadian dictatorship, because, you know, we haven't talked about this before, and because of Ukraine, the attention has been shifting towards that, but we shouldn't forget Canadian and Trudeau's dictatorship. Here's an article by Christian Post saying, recent events in Canada reveal an alarming trend of crackdowns on religious liberty. And before I go on, there's another article I'd like to bring your attention to, which is going to be published in the next update by LifeSite News, saying that the significance of the government's backtracking on the nature of the Freedom Convoy, remember that was that convoy of the truckers protesting against coronavirus restrictions. It says here, that was the argument that the Trudeau government used to justify invoking the Emergencies Act, which allowed it to use a national police force to physically remove peaceful protesters while demanding financial institutions freeze the bank accounts of private citizens without a court order. Now they were forced to retract all of that because none of that was true. None of that was true. And so my comment is, to hear dictator Trudeau speak like he did in Europe about the importance of democracy when accusing Putin and then defending Ukraine is the epitome of hypocrisy. This guy dares to get up there and speak about democracy while he has his country in complete and total and utter dictatorship. And he isn't done yet. Don't ever think he is done yet. But the article I was talking about earlier, which talks about Canadian dictatorship, also warns us here in the United States that it could come to us. Because it says, the shocking truth is that similar and equally brazen violations are already happening in our nation. Look at the example of Coach Joe Kennedy, who was fired from his job as a high school football coach. Why? Because a school district claimed it was inappropriate for students and parents to see him take a knee and silently pray for 30 seconds after a football game. A federal appellate court even handed down a troubling ruling stating that any time a public school teacher is on duty and can be seen, everything they do, including a brief, quiet, personal prayer, is government speech. Now, this is now pending with the United States Supreme Court. We'll have to see how they are going to decide this. It is absolutely ridiculous, but it shows the way in which the left liberal media and propaganda and agenda is trying to just destroy everything this country has at one time stood up for. Now, we have, as I said, a standing watch program on the murder of abortion. And, of course, this fits into the context of persecution, because abortion is persecution and murder against the innocent unborn children in the mother's womb. Now, talking about dictatorship in Germany. Is there anything like that in Germany? We have an article by Breitbart, dated March 23, saying this. A large number of apartments and houses were raided in Germany on Tuesday, as federal police in the country looked to prosecute those who made allegedly hateful remarks against elected officials online. And the question is, how do you define hateful remarks? Maybe what I've said today already about Mr. Biden, about Mr. Trudeau, about Mr. Putin, about Mr. Zelensky, are hateful remarks against politicians. What was extremely troubling about this is that they point out that a law in Germany has given special legal privileges and protections for politicians. In other words, you make insults, slander, and defamation, in other words, whatever these are, you make that against people in political life, you are particularly punishable. So it's a clear attempt to suppress, absolutely suppress, any criticism of politicians. You know, here in the United States, just the opposite, just the other way. In other words, politicians are looked upon as public figures, and that means you have to have malice, and they have to prove that you have had malice. If you make a false, objectively false statement, opinions are never actionable. But Germany goes 10,000 steps further, and the article says this is the latest example of the country's interesting understanding of what protecting democracy means. The country has become infamous for targeting certain political viewpoints. And here they are standing up for democracy in Ukraine, right? It's just absolutely hypocritical. Not only that, now Germany is discussing a vaccine mandate. And the new chancellor, Olaf Scholz, is completely for a vaccine mandate. The health minister, Lauterbach, is completely for a vaccine mandate. And they are going to debate that and discuss it and decide beginning of April. Now, if it comes to the point where you have a vaccine mandate, let me just tell you what that means. And we checked this out, and we talked even to our travel agency here in contemplation of perhaps going over there to Germany for the feast, again, something which we haven't decided yet on. You have to have three shots, three, and a booster shot, and they're talking about perhaps a fourth shot. That's what you have when you have to have vaccine mandates. Absolute, complete, total, utter stupidity. And that's what Germany, on its way to dictatorship, is trying to bring out. Now, it's interesting, too, like to just end with that before we go into another hymn and then, of course, a sermon. Germany has a new health minister, as I pointed out before, and I want to see whether I have this in writing, but maybe I don't, and I'm just going to summarize it for you. So, because the health minister has said there is not going to be ever a vaccine mandate. You're never going to be forced to have vaccines. And then when he was asked about it, and they said, well, but if you are trying to tell the people now they have to do it, why isn't that a vaccine mandate? And his answer was, well, it's not necessarily a mandate. You're not forcing them because they still have a chance to object. That is the logic of the German health minister, Lauterbach. You know, you still have the chance to object. Of course, you have to pay fines and you may have to go to jail, but you still have free will to object. All right, so that's how politicians are trying to change their opinions. And if you say something, you might be charged, I guess, with political slander and defamation. And if Germans do that, they may be in trouble.